Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahitah shitoshna sukadukeshu tata mana pramanayo. The one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. Such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, are all the same.
Maharaj, are you a bit sick today?
Huh?
Are you sick today?
Just energy is down. Shitoshna sukadukeshu. So jitatmana means one who's conquered the mind. Prashantasya, he's very peaceful. Paramatma samahita, and therefore he's reached the super soul. The idea is the mind is full of all sorts of rubbish, it's going here and there. But if you quiet down the mind, then what's it going to do? It'll follow the proper direction. So, yes. Conquering the mind means that now I'm ready to connect the mind to the Supreme, which is the idea of yoga. Dhyana, Vaspatatad Kitain Manasa, Pashanti Yam Yoginam. the yogis aspire to see the Paramatma within the heart. So for one who succeeds in conquering the mind, this is possible. Shitoshna Shukadu Kesho Tuku. Shitoshna Shukadu Kesho Kutamana Pamanava. So as expressed many times in Bhagavad Gita, he has equanimity. So for him, heat and cold, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor are all the same. Any question there? Jnana vijnana triptatma kutasto viditendriyaha yuktit yuchate yogi samalostrasma kanchana. So this is again, this is who a yogi is. Jnana vijnana triptatma. He's satisfied, tripta, in himself, because he has jnana and vijnana, knowledge and realization. The person who has no knowledge, no realization, bayas parshesh vasaktatma, he's attached to external things. But the person whose mind is peaceful and who's satisfied in Krishna consciousness by knowledge and realization, kutasta, he's spiritually situated. Kuta actually means a peak. So he's situated like on the peak. Kutasta. It means spiritually situated, but that's how it's derived. And vijitendriya, jitta indriya. His senses are controlled. Vijitendriya, very much controlled. So yukta, he's connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness. Yuktiti yukshite yogi. So he's actually, he's said to be a yogi. Samalostrashma kanchana. He sees pebbles, stone, and gold all as being of equal value. That is to say, no value. Or valuable only when engaged in the service of Krishna. And Prabhupada has a nice commentary that the Krishna conscious person is not interested in academic knowledge. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stone. He sees the PhD, the MA, all on the same level, that is to say, lost. Suhrin Mitrari Udasina Madhyasta Dvesha Bandhushu Sadhushrupi Chapapeshu Samabudhir Vishishrupe. So again, here's this equality of mind, this equanimity, this equal vision that comes with peace in mind, peace of mind and realization of the Paramatma. He sees everyone by same, everyone the same. Suhrit, well-wishers, mitra, affectionate benefactors, madhyastha, mediators, envious people, friends, relatives, sadhus, papis, sinful people. He sees them all the same. Why? Samabuddhi. His intelligence is equal everywhere. And everyone's part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is, it's simply Krishna's energy everywhere. He's not disturbed by anything in this world. Or for him, it's all the same. The yogis are like that. Okay, yes?
Before the statement of Masters of Arts, and
excuse me?
PhD and Masters of Arts.
Yeah.
Now in Radhadesh, you can do you can make a bachelor, Master of Arts in Vaishnava theology.
Yeah, okay.
Is it also considered like a stone, or is it available as a stone?
Well, finally, if you're not Krishna conscious, just to have a degree is of no special value. If you have the person who's washing the pots in the temple is on the same level as the person who's got an MA in theology. They're the same. It's not their goal. Well, we're the ones with the MAs. We're Krishna conscious, and these are the pot washers, and these are the MAs. That means if they're thinking that way, then they're not advanced in Krishna consciousness. But the advanced devotee sees that I may have an MA, but actually I'm lower than the straw on the street. If he becomes puffed up by his MA, better not to have one. Otherwise, if he thinks that, yes, this is just my service, someone's is that. So, nice if you can use your MA for Krishna. But you don't give particular credit. If this devotee's an MA, that devotee's a PhD, and this devotee's a millionaire, and that devotee's this one's a pujari, but that's a book distributor. Prabhupada said one time, the person who's cleaning the temple floor is as good as the editor of Back to Godhead. Not that the editor of Back to Godhead, that's a very high post, and floor sweeper, that's a very low post. Prabhupada said they're equal. So this is equal vision.
Would you say that some service have more value than others?
No. From one angle of vision, all the service is equal. Not that the person who's distributing books, he's great, and the person who's staying home and worshipping the deities, he's like the guy who couldn't make it. Or the person who's washing the pots, he's really, missed the boat somehow. The person who's washing the pots is as good as the person who's giving the Bhagavatam class. There's no difference that one service is good and the other service is not good. They're equal.
Even though one service might be difficult, more difficult than
whatever. Yeah. Service is service. Not that one service is good, another service is bad, or one is high, one is low. From one angle of vision, all the service is good. You know, there's that story about Hanuman and the squirrel?
Squirrel.
Hanuman and the monkeys were throwing big boulders into the ocean, and they were floating, and they were making the bridge to Lanka. And Hanuman saw these little squirrels kicking in dust. What are you doing? Oh, I'm building the bridge to Lanka. I'm helping build the bridge.
Nice.
Hanuman just laughed at him. Give me a break. But Lord Ram said, no, his service is as good as your service. According to his capacity, he's doing. According to your capacity, you're doing. So it's equal. You don't consider. That is discussed by Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He gives the different grades of devotees, starting from the beginning devotees up to finally the gopis. And he says that, we've analyzed this one's more, but actually they're all equal. So from sometimes we analyze that gopis are higher than the cowherd boys are higher, their relationship is higher than the servants. But from the absolute point of view, there's no favorites. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada gives the example, like Krishna's embracing the calf also. The calf is coming to lick Krishna's body and Krishna's embracing the calf. And Krishna doesn't say, well, wait a second, get it through your head, you're just a calf, okay? No, from Krishna's point of view, the calf is expressing his love, so he's as good as the gopis.
The gopis are
envious
that the flute is always on Krishna's level.
Yeah. So all equal.
And how are we to understand the statement that the gopis are supposed to be the most surrendered?
Because it's equal, at the same time there's distinctions. It may be appreciated that they've shown the maximum dedication or maximum expression of love. But from another point of view, there's no difference. Material world, if something, we have better, worse, like first grade, second grade, third grade, and then, If you didn't make it in the top group, then you're in the second or third group, you know, okay. On the spirit, in the spiritual world, even if there's some recognition of differences, there's also recognition that everyone's service is absolute. Therefore, the Lakshmis and so on, they're chanting the glories of the Lord, but then in Vaikuntha, then when they hear the bees humming, they stop to hear, because the bees are also glorifying Krishna. Not that, you know, these are just bees, okay? No, bees are also chanting. It's also equally good. Yes?
How to understand the situation that sometimes in our temples, managers give more importance to the devotees who are kind of bringing money, distributing books and preaching than to those who are, let's say, just cleaning and washing the pot.
I don't explain what managers do. Everybody should be encouraged. By the nature of going out and contacting the public, it's difficult work, so you kind of need some encouragement. Just like in the boxing ring, you see in the movies or whatever that they, you know, between rounds, the trainers, okay, champ, you know, you can do it, go out there and get him. You know, but nobody has to do that for the audience.
No.
Nobody has to tell the people sitting in the seats, okay, guys, you know, just keep sitting there. You know, it's easy. All they have to do is just be there. But the guy who's going to be, you know, heading out into the ring for another round, yeah, could use some encouragement.
A lot.
It's practical. From another point of view, though, the audience is as important as the fighter. If the audience didn't come, the fight would be a failure. You know, they wouldn't have a fight because the promoters would lose money. So they'd say, okay, forget it, you know, call off the match. So it's appreciated. From one angle of vision, something is, you know, very great. From another position, another point of view, everything is equal. You give that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Also, Kaviraj Goswami says there's a very great devotee in another person, and he's, you know, very important devotee in this. And then at the end, says, all the devotees are great. Ye bhaje sheva abhaktahin cha. All the devotees, anyone who's engaged in the service of Krishna, he's great. And anyone who's not, he's wretched. So, just like Prabhupada gave the example that you don't distinguish that my head is good and my feet are not good. From one angle of vision, the head may be more important than the feet, but it's not that if you have like a problem with your foot, you say, anyway, it's just my foot. Over my head, I do something. Over my head that's falling off, I do something, but it's simply I'm losing my foot, so that's not very important. You'll try to save your foot also. So, from the absolute point of view, everything is equally good. Or from Bhagavatam, you know, the 10th canto may be the face of the Lord, and the 1st canto, the 2nd canto may be the feet. We don't say, well, the feet are less important. In Krishna, hangani yasya sakalendriya vittimanti, there's no difference between the face and the feet. They're all absolute. So, there. And yes, they're all absolute. Yeah. Okay? That's the vision of the yogis. They come to this point that material world, everything is absolutely the same also because it's just Maya. And the spiritual world, everything is the same because it's all spirit. Yogi yunvita satatam atmanam rahasi stitaha ekaki yata chitatma nirashir aparigraha. Now we're coming into the description of the yoga system itself. Yogi yunvita satatam, he should Krishna concentrate himself in relationship to Krishna always. Atmanam rahasi stitaha. Atmana means, we discussed the other day, atma means what?
Mind.
Body, self, super soul.
All of these things. Whatever the self is. The self is the mind, the self is the body, the self is the senses, the self is the intelligence, finally the self is the soul. Then there's the supreme self, super soul. So here it means body, mind, and self, atma, rahasi, stitaha, in a secluded place. What are these guys up to today? Rahasi, in a secluded place, so you don't get guys like this making a disturbance when you're trying to meditate. So you have to go to a secluded place. Imagine you're trying to do serious yoga and these guys are doing all this stuff. So you have to go to a secluded place, ekaki, by yourself. Yata chitatma, always carefully controlling the mind. Nirashi, without any attraction to anything else, aspirations for something else. And aparigraha, free from possessiveness. They're going to keep doing this again and again?
Yeah, he's going to sweep this whole area.
Why don't you?
Can you ask him to do it later?
Yeah, tell him. After the class.
One o'clock.
Take lunch.
Be back in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we'll be successful.
Success, huh?
He's reluctant because he says his boss is coming today, and Mrs. Boss has ordered them to clean this area.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to leave at 1 o'clock. So I said, Mara said no.
We'll put a little sign there. This path has been left dirty courtesy of MIHE. Anyway, you're a powerful person. You got the stuff. Thank you. Mrs. Boss. And Prabhupada quotes here these two very important verses, which I hope you all know. Anasaktasya vishayan, jitarham upiyunjita, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Krishna Vairagyam Iskrite Prapanchakriteya Buddhya Hari Sambandhi Vastunaha Mumukshubi Parityaga Vairagyam Bhagavatam. Very important verses. Okay, now we really get into the yoga system. Shuchau deshe pratishtapya sthira masana matranaha natyutritam nati nicham trilajana kushottaram tatraikagram manakritva yatachitendriya kriyaha upavishyasane yunjad yogam atma vishuddhaye. This yoga system is a technique. One has to follow all the rules and regulations to get the result. Something like chemistry, you know, you have to have the right apparatus, and you have to mix things in the proper order, in the proper quantities, and at the end you'll get something. And then if you don't follow the procedures, you know, the experiment fails. So here are the conditions, the requirements, the rules for executing this mechanical yoga system. It involves a lot of mechanics. You're going to have to draw the life air up through the different chakras. It's serious business. First thing is shucho deshe pratishtapya. One has to go to a pure place, sanctified place, sacred place. Hardwar, Rishikesh, or Vrindavan. Guru Maharaj went to Vrindavan and was meditating there. Not a gymnasium in New York City. A sacred place. Sthiram asanam atmanah. And he has to have his proper seat where he should firmly sit. Not utrutam, nati nicham. Not too high, not too low. And it should be chailajana kushottaram, covered with soft cloth and a deer skin and kusha grass. It's said that this deer skin, the snakes don't approach when you're sitting on the deer skin. Remember, you're out in the middle of, you know, it's not like a carefully patrolled area. The yogis would go, there'd be snakes, there'd be tigers, there'd be so many. And he has to be indifferent, fearless. All right, sit, meditate, not... You know, like the birds always wondering, got to be peaceful-minded. Tatra ekagram mana kritva. He has to make his mind one-pointed. Yata chitat chitendriya kriyaha. Controlling the mind, yata chitta, and upavishya asane yunjad yogam atma vishuddhaya. And he has to follow now the yoga system, atma vishuddhaya, for the sake of purifying the heart. Yes?
Yesterday we had a small discussion on this one point. Secluded place, he has to be alone.
Rahasi stitaha, ekaki, twice it said. Rahasi means like secret, rahasya, secret place, you know, secluded place, a place that not, you know, like people don't know about. Not like, you know, the beach at Acapulco or something. Some place that people don't know about, rahasi, secret place. Ekaki, by himself. And shucho deshe is the sacred place.
But your Prabhupada, he says about that the bhakti yogi is the perfect yogi. And when he is alone, it means he is only with devotees.
Right.
No.
Yeah, all of these principles have some, they can be understood in terms of the devotees also. The devotee also controls his mind. The devotee also goes to a sacred place. The devotee also is alone, that is, he's not with materialistic people. The devotee also controls his senses. All of these things are there, but not in the same way as done by the Ashtanga Yogi. The devotee's process is much easier and ultimately higher. Okay? Moving ahead. Samam kaya shiro grivam dharyana chalam stidaha sam prekshan asikagram swam dishas chan avalokyan prashantatma bigatabhir brahmachari vritestitaha manasam yamya matchitto yukta asita matparaha. So some of this people know. You keep your body straight, your head, neck, and body in a straight line. Achalam, not moving. Stidaha, very still. And sampreksha, completely focusing the glance. Nasikagram swam, on the tip of the nose. Dishas chan avalokyan, not looking this way, that way. That means the eyes are inclined to go here, glow there. Nope. He really focuses all of his attention, withdraws his attention from everything else. That's described. What is that? Yam, niyam, asana, yan, dharana. Prabhupada outlined them where? In the very beginning, right?
Page 3 or 4.
Okay. Yeah, there it is. Yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, pratyahara, dharana, dhyan, samadhi. So this is the Eightfold Yoga System. Controlling the mind, controlling the senses, sitting posture, and breathing exercises. Pratyahara means the opposite of eating. The opposite of eating is no eating. So it means driving out the sense objects. Just like here, no looking. You don't get to look, you only get to look at the tip of your nose. Dishas cha analogia. Not looking anywhere else. So he shuts out all the sense objects. Then concentration, meditation, and finally samadhi, complete absorption. So that's being described, the preliminary or the summary really is being described. Prashantatma, completely peaceful, fully peaceful, peaceful mind. Vigatabhi, no fear. Out there in the middle of the forest, no fear. We'll just go out there and sit and don't worry about anything because you're completely peaceful. If the tigers eat you, well. But we're not going to stop meditating for the peaceful, subdued, tranquil mind. Brahmachari vritestataha, a requirement often overlooked, almost always overlooked in the popular methods of yoga. Brahmachari vrite, he has to follow the vow of brahmacharya. Karmana manasa vacha sarvavastasu sarvada sarvatra maitana tyago brahmacharyam prachakshate. No sex, forget sex, sex is out. The modern yoga system, practically the purpose is sex. You know, have a good bod so that people will be attracted, so that you'll have good sex life. But real yoga, brahmachari vritestata, no sex. Sex is out, 100%. Immediately cuts down on the number of yogis considerably.
One should not marry, or one should, after brahmachari, seek sannyas, then he can also meditate.
Brahmachari means here, doesn't mean varnashram, it means no sex. Brahmachari vrata means no sex, a vow to give up sex.
For life. But this yoga system is not for grihastha.
No. Well, you can be married, but you have to give up sex. And ekaki means you go off and do this by yourself. It's not really a husband and wife show.
Prabhupada Vrajji did it in Guyana, in Dhyana. There is no place for Grihastha Brahmachari. It's not only in Bhakti Yoga.
Mm. Where does Prabhupada say?
In the bottom, 285.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, what, 85?
285?
No, 285. Is a different.
It's different page.
What purport?
Vortex
13. Yeah, 13, 14.
Yeah.
Verse
6.
Like, above this, some
yeah.
There is some quote above it.
Yeah, having sex, right. Having a sexual relationship only, that's called brahmachari, but right, forget that. You can be household, they require complete abstinence. You can be, you know, you can have a wife, but you can't do anything with her. No sex. Really, you have to take sannyas. That's essentially it.
Do they take sannyas?
Take sannyas means forget everything. Doesn't mean that you do a ceremony. It means forget the material world. Forget the material world. Forget sex. Forget sense. I mean, look at this. No, you're shutting out sense enjoyment. You're giving up sex. You're going to curtail everything. You know, you've had it with the material world. You're only going to get out. That's your program. And it's an intense program. You know, we're like, because there's, you know, two, three classes a day or four classes a day at the MIHE, and you guys are like, wow, man, it's like no time for anything. It's a heavy engagement. But this engagement is toss out everything of the material world and just do this. Discipline, you know, your whole thing is disciplining your mind, disciplining your senses, disciplining your respiration to the point where it stops. Well, if you stop your respiration, you know, sex is just the opposite. I was talking about the other day. You know, it's the yogis, they're controlling, because you only have so many breaths, according to one angle of vision, that you only have so many breaths in your life. So that if you can cut down in the number of breaths you take, you can extend your life. The yogis can live for 10,000 years. But if you're busy with sex, you're using up a lot of breaths real fast. So, no sense enjoyment.
Maharaj, what is with, like, Dhritarashtra? He also, at the end of his life, he went to the Himalayas and sat down. Is it the same process? Or, but his wife was with him?
She was on the scene, but he had nothing to do with her.
Kshatriya don't take sannyas.
Not a question of sannyas, but he was following the yoga system. But she was just there. He wasn't involved with her. Just like the Pandavas, when they left. They left. Draupadi followed, and who was it? Kunti followed. But it was like, follow or don't follow, we're finished. It's over. And we're leaving this world. You can come or not come, it's up to you. We're not even, you know, don't even ask us. We're finished. It's over. That's, you know, that's what it's about, leaving this material. The yoga system, finally, you know, you bring the life air to the top of the head and take off like a, you know, a ballistic missile or something. No going back. That's the yoga system. It's not... Could you take a break from your yoga at 4 o'clock and check on the kids? Or you know, the guy from the electric company is supposed to be coming at 7. Could you be there to take care of it? You know, forget it. There's no material anything to take care of. His material life is over. He's shutting down totally, like Dhritarashtra. You know, so many days he was in some, he just finally okay, closed all the accounts. Closed all the accounts.
Maharaj?
Yes.
To go to a secluded place, one must be quite advanced.
Yeah.
Already. It must be very advanced.
Yeah. This is not like something everybody, you know, kind of just, I'm going to go off to do some yoga today. You know, it's serious business. Look at the kind of determination you have to do this. Yeah. You know, how many people are ready to go off to a secluded place? you know, they want to go someplace where there's a lot of, you know, they want to go visit their relatives. You know, look, like Indian civilization, even now, when people have a vacation, what do? They either go to a sacred place or they visit their relatives. That's what they do. But forget visiting your relatives. And, you know, the visiting the sacred places, they'll go with their families and, you know. But this is a, you know, you're off on yourself, on your own, completely. You're going off to a sacred place, and it's not like there's a bus or a train to get there. You just go. Mm-hmm.
So presumably, as the jungle is full of ferocious animals, there must be a mindset that I could be breathing my last.
Well, the animals, you know, if I'm seriously engaged in spiritual consciousness, the animals will know. The Lord is there within their heart. He'll direct them. Super Soul will direct them. And if he doesn't, well,
I'm finished anyway.
Kshatriyas.
They're not, yes?
We have heard that previously, former kings.
Yeah, the kings, it was their business. They would try to keep the forest peaceful so that the sages could do their business. But, you know, they can't catch everything. So the yogi just has to be, not worry about it. Just like a fighter, he goes off into battle and, well, I may be killed, but, you know, everyone has to die sometime. So the yogi, you know, all right, whatever happens, but I have serious business here, I have to get free from material existence. So manasam yamya, he has to completely control the mind. Then the important points, much chitta, thinking of me, and yukta sita matparaha, making me the goal of life. It's right there, and all these yoga people miss it. Yes, usually they don't even read Bhagavad Gita, but somehow if they, you know, they get into the, you know, today we'll talk about the philosophical side of the Gita, you know. But they, you know, they don't get it.
Yeah.
Even if they read Bhagavad Gita, where it's clearly stated that this is what you got to do in the yoga system, they don't do it. Mat chitta, one has to think of Krishna. Mat padaha, one has to make Krishna the goal. That's so clearly stated. All of this is for that purpose, and they miss it. They miss it. And mat means not the impersonal Brahma Jyoti something, it means me.
Prabhupada says it's even in the Patanjali system that the goal is Krishna.
Yeah, in all Vasudeva Para Yoga. In all yoga, the goal is Vasudeva. You know, who are you trying to link with? It's Krishna. These people do not get it. That's the problem.
Sometimes we say that the karmis want material comforts, the jnanis want freedom from birth and death and material suffering. And sometimes it says the yogis want mystic powers.
Mm.
But that doesn't seem like... Is that a superior thing to liberation?
No. But they get stuck, you know? Because you can get the yogis are really advised, don't get diverted by these powers. But, you know, they're really cool. You know, create a planet, wow, you know, I think maybe before I leave I could create a planet, you know, just kind of like try it out. It's actually a fall down for a yogi to be attracted by these mystic powers. But it often happens.
I want to say that it's time for a break.
Mm.
And also, I wanted to ask the description in the last verses, is it about the second level of yoga? In the beginning, we mentioned two levels.
Yeah, this is perfection now. Both things, actually. The beginning is some work, you know, you got to sit, you got to set up your asana, you've got to drill your respiration, you got to do all these things. But the final thing is samadhi, much chitta, always thinking of Krishna.
And for the neophyte, work is said to be beneficial.
Yes.
So what kind of work do they do in a sacred place, secret sacred place?
Well, there's two explanations. I think Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says Nishkam Karma Yoga here is accepted to work with detachment. But the explanation Prabhupada gives that this work is that the yoga practice itself entails work. Just, you know, keeping your eyes on that tip of the nose, that's a lot of work. Not, you know, it's work. Getting all these things down so that you can reach the point of meditation is work.
So the neophyte is under the guidance of a teacher who's constantly monitoring him. Yeah.
Doesn't say that. He says actually Ekaki. He goes off alone.
Goes off alone. But how does he know what to do?
He must have been instructed.
Yeah.
Madam, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati chanted for 10 years. So that concentration or preparation, sit in one place.
Is it concentration? Yeah, it's concentration.
Yeah. How about introducing some systems of
yoga? Oh, I'm not going to talk about what ISKCON's strategies are going to be. I've had it with that stuff. Let ISKCON figure it out what policies they want to have. So. Shall we do one more verse and then we're done?
Yes.
Let's take our break. Yunja nevam saratmanam yogi niyatamanasaha Shantim Nirvanam Paramam Matsamstam Arigachati. By constantly practicing Sada Atmanam Niyata Manasa, with a regulated mind, Shantim Nirvana Paramam, he attains peace, he attains cessation of material existence. Matsamstam, he attains my establishment, huh? Samstha means place.
Yes.
Or organization also, right? But he attains Krishna's abode. Mat samstha, my place. Adigachati. So Prabhupada mentions it's very clear here. Mat chitta, mat paraha, mat samstha. It's all about reaching Krishna. Tameva vidvati mrityumeti. By understanding him only can one achieve freedom from death. Very famous verse. Tameva vidvati mrityumeti. Very well known. But tameva vidva, by knowing him only. Throughout these verses, there's Prabhupada's parallel commentary, how the Krishna conscious person achieves all these objectives without following the Ashtanga Yoga system. He automatically achieves these things by practicing Bhakti Yoga. Okay, we'll take our break. Matsamstha Arigatpati. I'm trapped.
Close to Ganga.
Usual time, like 9:45. Someone said meet here.
9:45
here. Yeah, okay. Well, listen, if we meet,
we walk
to the
gate.
I'm not exactly sure where the bus is going to be, so it's best to meet here. Maharaj. Boat because of the river, because of the Ganga. It wasn't enough.
water. 10 o'clock in front of main gate?
9:45 here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there must not be trouble with not being nothing important. The boss is out, the mouse is then being stable.
When the cat is away,
I can't come, but I cannot. I don't come for Prasadam anymore, not in this life. Krishna arranges a special diet.
Yeah.
I have to be also ready.
Yeah, you know, it's actually for 10 holders, and I invite 12. So.
Don't worry, I take so much. I can invite 5 more.
Would you like to come? I ask you 13.
It's only eating, huh? If it's only eating, I don't come.
No, it's started from 30, and Maharaj will give an inspirational song.
Prasad, it is so heavy always.
No.
Full of ghee.
Oh. Full of ghee. I never was sick.
Me, I come once a year, I take my prasad.
Once a year? It's quite austere. Your heart become hard, you have to eat more mahaprasad.
Out of the way. Step aside.
Step aside.
Go to the spiritual world. Go back to Godhead, out of my way.
Yeah, out of the way, go back to Godhead.
I can't, I have business.
What are you doing here?
I must let the more enjoy. I must let the more enjoy than I go.
You are late, go.
Maharaj, I went for this class.
for what is this name? We met in Prabhupada Samadhi. Sridhar Maharaj.
Oh.
Beautiful.
Oh, it must have been nice.
She lives in
I wanted to go actually, but I was exhausted. They told me the wrong time. I was exhausted. The real time. I'm sure it was beautiful. He's such a nice.
It's amazing.
It can be used actually.
So the verse of the Bhagavad Gita does not so dear the creatures, the glories of Bhagavad Gita. So all the services are actually like connected to preaching Bhagavad Gita, whether it's sweeping the floor.
Yeah, then from another angle of vision, although there's no difference, Krishna also recognizes differences. So he says it's all absolute. You know, like we have perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. They're all perfect. But then Krishna makes a distinction. No, the one who's preaching, he's special. It's like everyone's a citizen. But the person who's fighting on behalf of the country, he's got special recognition.
Thank you.
The example is also given of a king. He takes care of all the citizens, but his family members are not here.
Yeah, that's true. We're usually in the shade. How are we in the sun? Oh, I see, because everybody moves up. Somehow or other, everybody set things up in such a way that I'm usually
here.
That's why I'm in the sun. Okay, move everybody back. Let's disrupt everything.
I'm just taking my place back. You guys can do whatever you want, but I'm sitting here.
Westerners are in the suntan. Suntan.
Thank you.
Is that next to the cookie?
Yes. Busy. Your shoulders are not in shadow over there.
Half sun.
Do we start again? I guess we have to move this because this is where the.
They got smart. They got the hose. They don't have to use the pump.
You guys, you didn't need to do all that.
They had the hose before. What happened? It's a pause.
Haribo!
Power is there.
Five-minute hogya.
Indian 5 minutes is not.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back in action here. I think you can move back a little bit more. Or maybe we need the others to come so that they move back. Okay, you move back there a little bit, give people in the front row some. Yeah. You guys all have to move this way. This is a sign of advancement that you can handle moving 2 feet this way. That's okay. You might feel more comfortable spacing it out a little more, but it's all right with me. I'm happy now. If you guys are miserable, that's up to you, but I'm happy. Okay. Nat yinashnatas tu yogosti na chaikantam anashnataha nachati swapnashilasya jagrato naivacharjana. Kind of wish they hadn't found the hose, but anyway. Ati means too much. It's in Bengali also, right? Ati, too much. Na ati. Ati anashnata means eating too much. And ati swapna shilasya means staying up too late or sleeping too much. It's nice, Prabhupada's jagrata, one who keeps night watch too much. So there's no question of being a yogi if one eats too much, or anashnataha, doesn't eat enough, or sleeps too much, or stays up too much. The theme here is that everything has to be regulated. These instructions are also useful for the bhakti yogis. All these instructions, how one has to fix the mind, how one has to be free from fear, all of this is for the bhakti yogis also, although our approach to it is different. But if one eats too much, how will he practice any yoga system? Eating too much, then he'll sleep too much, and the senses also become agitated.
Only bhakti yoga.
The,
Only bhakti yoga.
No, but the bhakti yogi also. Yeah. Eating too much means, that's explained in the Upadeshamrita. No, even prasadam. In Upadeshamrita, it's explained that the tongue, the belly, and the genitals are in a straight line. And if we're saying yes to the tongue, I want this, I want that, or yes to the belly, I want this, I want that, then it's like weight on the genitals. So the senses, the top two are uncontrolled, the third one's going to be uncontrolled also. If the tongue is controlled and the belly controlled means, this, you know, it's full, but it says more, which is stupid, but that's what it does. It wants more. So the sex organs can't be controlled by the person who doesn't control his eating. He doesn't control his eating and his sense gratification in other departments. So this control of the not to eat too much is an important instruction for those who want to control their sex life. If we're eating passionate food, we'll find out what that is later in Bhagavad Gita. If we're eating addicted to passionate food, food that's super hot, super rich, super tasty, super, super duper, then it will agitate the sex organs also. Yeah. Just to eat passionate and not go through with the rest of it, you know, is incongruent. So the person who's serious about spiritual life eats mainly food in the mode of goodness. Simple, nourishing, tasty, but not turbocharged. You know, it's not tasteless, stale, but it's not, you know, the taste sensation of the centuries. Simple, mild eating, and not too little, so that the body is out of equilibrium, and not so much that the body's out of equilibrium.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about chili?
That's what he's talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like, yeah. But we don't have choice here. There's everywhere is so much chili.
Well, of course, too much. Yeah, then that should be adjusted. Of course, what's too much for one person and what's too much for another may differ. You know, here they're accustomed to more chili. But there's such a thing even for Bengalis as too much chili.
Go to Andhra Pradesh.
Exactly. When we went down to Andhra, we would tell them no chilies, so they would cut it in half, and the Bengali boys would still complain that it was too hot. They've got such chilies there. Wow. Yes. No, I'm not saying that exactly. No, Rajaguna doesn't depend on the person exactly. But I just mean to say that there's kind of a baseline standard which may be different according to the culture as to, you know, what's spicy, what's hot, what's, and so on.
If the food is in Rajaguna, there will be some effect.
Yeah, there's, if it actually in, even in Jagannath Puri, they don't cook with any chili for Lord Jagannath. They get heat from black pepper, from ginger. This chili is actually a foreign spice. It was introduced from Portugal.
Mexican.
Hmm?
Mexican.
Well, Mexico is where you find a lot of it these days, but it came to India from, India didn't have any connection with Mexico. It came from Portugal.
Portuguese.
Otherwise, the Indians were using black pepper, ginger, hing. And you can get all the heat you need from
pepper.
From that little chili. Chili is not, you know, banned. But when it becomes too much chili, you know, you see these guys, they're like munching on things that are like, they're munching on small fires. Even in the West, it's potato chips, right? They make the potato chips super salty. Bet you can't eat just one, right? So that's in the mode of passion.
More.
And this Tex-Mex thing, you know, there's lots of passion. We'll get into that more in the relevant chapter.
But can we offer that most spicy food,
Jagannath, he can take spicy food. he doesn't have to practice yoga to become self-realized. So he can eat rasgullas, he can have a big, you know, plate full of gulab jamuns 5 times a day. Yeah, I mean, he can eat 7 times a day. Where's the question of, you know, not eat too much, not eat too little? For Lord Jagannath, he's not under any restrictions. He said his hands are never dry. He can eat all the time. That's the difference between Lord Jagannath and us. If you try to eat like Lord Jagannath, you'll die. So for us, it's advised not eat too much and not eat too little. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada remarks, he was, if he saw his sannyasis becoming fat, he would not consider that very good. He told one of my godbrothers one time, not a sannyasi as it happens, but he said, you're not fit, you're fat.
He was going to take sannyas.
He wanted to take sannyas. Prabhupada said, you're not fit, you're fat. So, not eating too much and not eating too little. Prabhupada asked me one time, he said, why you are so skinny? I don't know. Anyway, like Prabhupada was not fat and he was not emaciated. He didn't not eat, but he didn't eat very much. He didn't eat, wasn't always looking for.
But he sleeps very less, no?
Huh?
He sleeps very less, like...
Prabhupada? Not very much. He ate. It's not that you'd go and you'd see that Prabhupada was living on 3 chickpeas or something. He was eating. According to maintain body in, you know...
working hard.
In a working condition, he was eating. But he wasn't, you know, what's today's feast going to be? You know, simple. He preferred, you know, not big, tasty. Simple, nice, tasty, but not, you know, super hot, super sweet, super you know, it wasn't like that. Yes.
This yogi in a situation like yukta ahar, then it becomes into a gradually leaves everything.
Yeah, that we come to. We're coming to yukta ahar next, so that's in a moment. So not too much eating, not too little eating, not too much sleeping. Probably that more than 6 hours is in the mode of ignorance, and not too little. Amazing, how could one live with less than 6 hours?
To me, it's that I need a little bit more than 6 hours.
Yeah, Prabhupada told one devotee said to Prabhupada, I just can't get by in 6 hours. Prabhupada says, it'll take more.
Because I'm always in my...
Yeah, if you need to take a little more. But we'd like to keep it on the low side. The devotee, Prabhupada said, so long you sleep, you waste your time. So the devotee doesn't, the materialist, like Sunday or, the weekend,
sleep
so he can sleep in till 8, till 9, till 10, and then have breakfast in bed, it's like, whoa. And that he considers that a great treat, to be able to sleep more and more. And if he didn't have to work, he could sleep like that every day. But the Krishna conscious person, he doesn't like to sleep, so he sleeps as much as he needs to. That's regulated. And he's also, he doesn't stay up late. The karmis are up watching television till 11 o'clock or, doing something till late. The devotee, he knows, it's better to take early, early to bed, early to rise.
Healthy.
Even my grandfather used to get up early in the morning. So you can't get up early in the morning consistently if you're staying up till all hours of the night. So this is simple regulation. Yukta ahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta svapna bodhasya, yoga bhavati dukkaha. Dukkaha means getting freed from all miseries. All dukkha, misery. Getting rid of it. How? By yoga. How is that? By being regulated. In ahara, eating. In vihara, recreation. Cheshta, in endeavor. In swapna, sleeping. And avabodha, wakefulness, gets free from all miseries by being regulated in these things. And Prabhupada explains in the purport how the Krishna conscious person follows all these principles. Any questions there? You had a question, but let me just come back to that in a second. I just want to see what commentary is here. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes, swimming is accepted as Vaishnava exercise. Wrestling we hear is Vaishnava exercise. Walking. Prabhupada used to regularly walk every day.
And
he would chant and walk. Walk and talk, walk and chant.
How long?
How long? Wow, Prabhupada used to take long walks sometimes. What would you say, like an hour? 45 minutes, an hour?
Morning walk was usually about 45 minutes to an hour. Yeah.
45 minutes to an hour, and he would walk fast, too.
Very fast.
Man, I've got, you know, I would like be really happy to be on the morning walks till I was on them. I got worn out on those walks, really. They're so, probably would really go. I mean, sometimes, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, the 25-yard dash or something, but what is it? 20, not 25 yards, 25 mile, whatever it was, 25 meter. Anyway, it was, I guess it was 100 meter dash, yeah. 25 meters is nothing. You can cover it in 2 seconds. But shows you how much running I've done. But he would walk briskly. That was his main exercise, actually, was walking. Prabhupada would walk every day.
Every day at the same time.
They talk about regulated. Every day, same time, any part of the world. That was Prabhupada's main exercise, was walking.
When exactly he was going?
Before the greeting of the deities, before the darshanarthi.
During our japa time.
Like 6.
Yeah, during our japa. Yeah, say 6 o'clock. Prabhupada would take his walk, and then he would be exactly on time for the greeting of the deities. He would never be late.
Last time somebody asked a question, they asked whether soccer is allowed, and you said you have to look it up in the folio.
Soccer? I would have to look it up in the folio?
Somebody,
I don't have to look it up in the folio.
But that's what you said the last time. You have to see the folio.
Prabhupada said this ball, that ball. He considered it actually against the principle of no gambling.
Yes.
Prabhupada included idle sports in the category of gambling.
Frivolous sports.
Yeah, frivolous sports. Idle sports, frivolous sports. He considered them to be in the category of gambling. Maybe that's why I said I had to look up. It's just to find you the specific quote. This ball, that ball. You can look it up in the conversations. Look for this ball, that ball. Someone want to take up that project? Find that quote?
Anyway, he said about golf.
Maharaj, in which way is it gambling?
Well, probably it's not gambling. It's not like you're, you know, staking something. But probably considered in the same category. Gambling means wasting your time. So, idle sports. You know, I mean, when you look at it, you know, over, like, whether a ball goes to this side of the, you know, field or that side of the field, you know, people, like, they stop all their work because, you know, India's in a contest with Pakistan and everything else stops and everybody's talking about...
And if they lose, they're all bummed out.
And if they, everybody's bummed out, and if they win, you know, where's your... You know, what happened to your equilibrium of mind? What happened to your focus on the absolute truth? What happened to remembering the purpose of life? You know, they got completely diverted by, you know, who's kicking a ball in which direction. And it's astonishing. It's mentioned about Narada Muni. That's one of the things that's mentioned as one of his good qualities. He wasn't very interested in sports, you know, when he was a maidservant's son. Wasn't very interested in sports. This sports is not encouraged.
And they do bet money on it.
Huh?
Yeah, they do bet money on it. Big money.
Oh, yeah, they also, betting makes it worse. But even if you don't bet, just,
still
you know.
Still they're wasting time.
Still they're wasting time. And then they bring the cheerleaders in to make things worse. Yes.
I was reading a book on Srila Prabhupada talking about the Gurukul. And he recommended that the boys should play soccer, they should swim, they should wrestle, all of this stuff. And I heard somewhere that when Prabhupada was young,
he played goalie in soccer.
He was on a soccer team himself.
Yeah.
So for exercise, it might not be.
Well, you know, children, I have nothing to say. It's beyond my area of expertise. But, you know, we see the grown-ups doing the same thing, and you know, it's like, well, I'm just trying to encourage the kids, you know.
Yeah, we train the kids.
It, you know, it's a good way to have bonding with the kids, you know, that or you know, it's good for my, you know, I mean, you find older devotees also who are, they get involved in this course.
Actually, he encourages
kirtan. Yeah, he said dancing kirtan. Dancing, walking, swimming. Now, you know, I don't want to sit here and like spoil people's health by, you know, telling them they can't do something that they were prescribed to do. But in general, Prabhupada considered this ball of, you know, this ball, that ball. He considered it in the category of gambling, means wasting time. One of the many ways that we can waste time. Yes? Ah, for the sake of sports, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invented coal and kartal.
Oh, that's a skill.
Yeah, you know, it exercises your muscles too. There it is.
Where is it from?
Nartanadas
Thakur. It's like alphabetical order. Chotrish Padavali. There are 34 syllables in the Bengali alphabet. So the first one is Kali Ka, and then the second one is Kha. So for Ka he says Kali Jive, and then the Kha he says for sports.
Okay. Of Yartha Kala Twam, a Krishna conscious person cannot bear to pass a minute of his life without being engaged in service of the Lord. So for that reason he doesn't like to sleep and doesn't like to waste time in other ways. Yada viniyatam chittam atmanyeva avatishtate nispraha sarvakamebhyo yuktit yuchite tada. The Krishna-conscious person, particularly disciplines the mind and its activities, chittam. Atmanyeva vatishtate, is situated in transcendence. Nispraha, free from material desires. Sarvakamebhya, for all kinds of sense gratification. Then he's well established in yoga. And Prabhupada mentions of these desires, sex is the chief, and he explains that the real way to get free from all material desires and be fixed in the supreme, fixed in transcendence, is the way followed by Maharaj Ambarish. Savai mana Krishna padad vindayo vachamsi vaikunta gunanavarnane. He fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, and then he engaged all of his senses. Yatottama sloka janashrayaviti, taking shelter of Krishna. Very important description, how Maharaj Ambarish engaged all of his senses in relationship to Krishna. That's more practical than trying to stop all the senses in the Ashtanga yoga system. We'll read one more verse. We have a little more time. No, I'm reading one more. Yata dipo nivatastho nengate sopama smrita yogino yatachitasya yunjato yogamatmana. Very nice example. Nivata. Vata means wind. So nivata means no wind, nivatastha. A lamp in a windless place remains very steady. So the mind of the Krishna conscious person, or the mind of the yogi, is like that. It's not all over the place. It's very calm, very steady, very fixed on the objective. So Prabhupada, yes, that's fixed in, he's fixed in Krishna consciousness. The yogi, by his mechanical process, by his eightfold process, has to fix the mind undisturbed, unwavering on Krishna. And the bhakti yogis also, by chanting and by service, have to fix their minds on Krishna. What is that? Anyabhilashita shunya, without any other business. Okay, any question there? We could go on to the description of samadhi, which is the next two verses, three verses, four verses, but that will take us over time. So I guess we won't go over time, we can stop here. And we'll see you
Monday,
as far as the, our Bhagavad Gita study is concerned. Tomorrow, I heard Bhakti Kevin's got the story for tomorrow. Still 9:45 leaving here for Mamgachi by bus. That's what we hear about tomorrow.
No boat this year, huh?
The water's not high enough.
Oh. Yeah, last year also there's a problem with
the water level.
The
weeds.
Yeah.
Everything's getting stuck.
Yeah, boats get stuck in the weeds.
Okay.
The tape recorders have changed a little bit since Prabhupada goes here, huh?
Yeah. Doesn't give the highest quality recording. Well, maybe, I don't know. Well, interesting, they didn't have it.
We attach a telephone.
This gives you better
microphone.
Yeah, it's a cheap
one. But we can attach
a... You attach a better microphone, yeah. I guess it does give better quality.
Yeah. We're using a better mic inside.
And you're getting good quality.
Like when Prabhupada first came in, it was these big reel-to-reel.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, and then they got kind of portable, but this is
well, we went to cassettes later.
Yeah, yeah.
They finally got those, they got that Ewer cassette recorder.
Yeah.
It's very high quality. Mm-hmm. But there was, it's big by...
But are you already on the list?
It's a big thing. Yeah. See, you know, see hard case carrying it, and it's a big case.
And when Prabhupada was here, the computers were that, about, you filled a room with the computers.
No. They were just coming in. Weren't they? Well, yeah, we had, actually we had one of the earliest computer applications. I think Spiritual Sky had computers also maybe coming in. But the press, I looked all over at typesetting equipment, which was just being computerized at that time. Uh-huh. Or which was, you know, it was starting to be, they were all, you know, lead, hot metal was out, or was going out, it was still used, but it was on its way out. And prototype setting was in. The prototype machines were driven mostly by paper tape.
Uh-huh.
And the paper tape would feed into a pretty, pretty simple computer. Usually, back in those days, they were using, I forget, like the sophisticated typesetting machines were using like PDP-8s, if you remember what those were.
No, I wasn't involved with that.
PDP-8 was, it was about this big. Not, no monitor or anything, that was just the, you know, the processor, the memory would be about that big, PDP-8. And they were like 8-bit machines, I guess.
Eight what?